And welcome to the Giants press conference live presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Tom Coughlin and the Giants are preparing for the Houston Texans, and the coach is already at the podium.
Played very well, managed the game extremely well for his team. As you know, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has a quarterback rating of 118, and he's played very, very well. They run the ball extremely well. Arian Foster has 55 carries for 241 for 4.4 with a long of 40. He's an exceptional runner. Plus, the offensive line has given up 1 sack throughout the course of the 2 games. Their defense is a physical front 8 versus Oakland. They did provide the ball for their offensive team at the plus 21 and plus 28 with turnovers, 1 fumble, 1 interception. Against Washington, Niles Paul had a 48-yard catch run after the catch, was stripped, lost the ball inside the 10. Their defense provided, again, the Houston defense provided the ball, turned it over inside their own 10-yard line twice in that particular game. Special teams has also made a strong contribution. Watt blocked an extra point against Washington, and Alfred Blue blocked a punt and scored, providing a very tight game, 17-6 game, a special teams touchdown as well. So this is a good football team, well-rounded. They've done a good job of taking care of the ball. They've rushed the ball. They've had time of possession in their favor. They've made big plays on the offense and the defensive side of the ball. That's why they're 2-0.
Any questions?
Tom, when you're playing against a guy like J.J. Watt, does it behoove everyone on the line to work together, because this guy really can't be stopped by one man?
Well, he's a very good football player, very energetic. They move him around. They play him in different spots. He comes off the ball very, very well. He has outstanding energy, endurance. So there's no doubt people have to be aware of where he is.
Does it make it harder when a dominant player is in the interior of the line? I mean, the outside you could chip and you have the tight, you could bring the tight end. And does it make it harder when he's in the interior?
Well, there's certainly ways that you can create attention towards the great player inside. Good, I can go to practice. Terrific.
Is there anything specifically that the quarterback can do because of his ability to swat the ball down? It seems like that's a pretty good spot.
Is there anything that the quarterback can do? Our quarterback or their quarterback? Well, you obviously can't throw the ball through small windows in the line of scrimmage with tall people rushing. I mean, that's something. There was pressure. The pressure was on him. He had to make a quick decision. Would have rather that the ball was thrown away. It didn't happen that way. But there are things you can do, yes.
Their quarterback has a reputation as turnover prone in his past, but they haven't turned it over. What do you see? Is it scheme related?
Oh, I think it definitely is. It's well managed. They're going to run the football. They're probably 65% better or better, or a little better with the run versus pass ratio. As I said, they've played in the lead 6 out of the 8 quarters, which is that's helpful as well.
Does Preston Parker get first shot at the journeyman spot?
He will have that opportunity.
What do you think he's been in the league before, obviously.
He's been in the league, yep. He's very quick. You saw him the other day. I mean, I think if we'd had a decent block in front of him, that might have been just nothing more than a punt return touchdown. So he's played before. He's got a good attitude about it. He is a tough guy, and hopefully he'll make a strong contribution.
What makes him the better option for you right now in that spot rather than Corey Washington, or is that something maybe we'll split with those two guys?
Well, there may be some opportunities for others to get involved. I was asked if he would be the first option, and I responded as, I hope not to confuse anybody, but you have 5 receivers up, and they'll all have an opportunity.
Where is Corey Washington in his growth? I mean, you saw him when he first came here. He's a rookie from a small school. And now you're 2 weeks
into the season. Every day. He's got to continue to improve as a special teamer as well. That's where he can really help us right now, I think. And then, of course, he is in the green zone. He's an excellent target.
Tom, you talked about the improvement from week 1 to week 2. But what is the challenge of doing it over 60 minutes?
Well, it's yeah, you know, we've always been a team that I've always believed was able to do that, and that's very disappointing. But we've got to win the fourth quarter. You've got to play well. You know, most games in the National Football League are decided then, and you have to play well in the fourth quarter. You've got to make things happen. You can't be discouraged when something goes against you. You still have to rise up and make it happen, and we continue to strive for that.
Is Beckham going to do anything further this week?
Not to my knowledge. Not with the team. He'll be right there learning, et cetera, working on the side, but he won't take any snaps.
In the summer when you were without Beast and you moved McClain to the middle, do you expect to do that again, or are you?
You'll see. Yeah, we'll maybe have a shot at that. I'll maybe address that later in the week if you want to ask that again.
You had said
McClain has played in the middle. Herzog has played in the middle. Both have played on the outside. So, I mean, there's a chance to utilize them in any whatever capacity we decide to use. And then, of course, you have the substituted situations as well.
And just to follow up, you're not expecting Beeson on Sunday, I'm guessing.
Well, if that's the next question, I wouldn't put it past this guy anything, but he's not going to practice today.
You had mentioned on Monday that you were going to talk to Victor. Did you get a chance
yes,
to do that?
Yes, I did.
How'd that go?
Good.
Anything you can...
Thank you very much. No, it was more or less a conversation about, you know, Victor's a captain now. It's not just his group. But I believe his group can and should play better and help us get in a position. We're not exactly scoring any points. We need people to be in that position. And he agreed with me, and he's working toward doing something about that.
That part about being the captain is a different dynamic for players. We saw it was not your team, but with the Jets, Santonio Holmes was a captain 1 year, and it blew up because of the comments that he frequently made about his teammates. Is he mindful of that kind of dynamic where what he says carries a little bit more weight?
Well, I think he is, most definitely, yeah. And he's a positive young man.
Have you guys been told anything about the status of Eric Hermann and J. Ron Hosley with regard to
I did read a little blip. I guess perhaps there's some things coming down. I really don't know anything about it right now. Okay, thank you very much.
And with that, Tom Coughlin heads out to the practice field as his Giants once again look forward to playing the Houston Texans on Sunday. When we come back, Roman Oben and I will examine the upcoming opponent right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live. Paul Dottino and Roman Oben with you. And Roman, the Giants are 0-2, but I think they're feeling a little bit better this week as opposed to last week.
Well, I think a lot of people can walk away from last week's game saying you saw improvement. You saw better things than you did Monday night. Unfortunately, they didn't win. They're still 0-2. They say you are what your record is, but it gives you some optimism going into Sunday.
All right, it is time for our GEICO news update, and 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. And the news of the day has to be about middle linebacker John Beeson, who is going to undergo more evaluations on his foot and toe injuries. Tom Coughlin said he won't practice today, but Roman, if he's out for an extended period of time, that causes a problem for this team.
Yeah, Paul, and this is what I said earlier in the season, even in preseason, that you just have to make sure with all this missed time in preseason that he doesn't come back too early and miss more significant time. Obviously, in terms of what he can do, what he brings to the table as a leader on that defense, his ability to close, he's a sideline tackler. When John Beeson is at his best, he's as good as any defensive player on this team or any player on this team. But again, you've got to make sure you're healthy enough. And at this point, you have to start to say, can we at least get him for 11 games, 12 games for the entire season? You don't want to keep going with his back and forth in terms of his injury. But I know that John Beeson is doing everything possible to try to help this football team win.
To this point, Beeson has played in 43% of the Giants' defensive snaps. That would be 86 plays, and he's had 8 tackles. Now, Devin Kennard would be the guy next up if he didn't have a hamstring pull. But the problem was he got hurt against the Lions, and he's unavailable.
Yeah, but I was excited about what I saw from Devin Kennard up to that point. And as far as a mid-round draft pick, he's as polished as any linebacker that has probably been drafted over the last 5 years of this organization. Just his instincts, he's physical, he tackles. I think Coach Hoffman told him in the preseason, you look in his training camp, I mean, he's hitting people. He's tackling people live in drills that aren't live drills. I mean, so he's a guy you got to say, all right, you got to call the dogs off a little bit because he's so physical. But you hope he can do it on Sunday. So as you monitor that hamstring, you can hope that he can get back a lot sooner than later, especially if Beeson is out for a longer period of time.
Yeah, Kennard's a real good run stopper. And the problem is then you'd have to work Herzlick into that mix, too. And he's had some spotty play. Now, let's look at the injury list. And the Giants had two guys that they had to add to this thing in the last couple of days. And it's not good news. Walter Thurmond and Jarrell Jernigan are now out for the season on IR.
Yeah, I mean, those are two injuries that you didn't expect. Walter Thurmond came on a one-year deal, got paid a lot of money to be that third cornerback to cement that defensive secondary. And obviously, Jernigan, you know, what John Mara said last year at the end of the season, you know, catching a pass on 4th-and-8 against Detroit and what he's done to this point, you started to say maybe this young guy could turn it around and really become that pro that the Giants drafted him 4 years ago. We won't see that as well. So with Jernigan and Thurmond being out, it's really a big blow to this football team. But thank goodness it's early enough in the season that you have other guys that you can recover from some of those absences.
You would think that Trumaine McBride would move up into Thurmond's slot. Now with the receiving spot, well, we've heard about Corey Washington all through the preseason. 10 catches, 4 touchdown grabs, 15.5 yards per catch. Preston Parker also averaged 15 yards a catch in the preseason. How much can they help?
Well, they can help a lot, and I think they've been helping to this point. Coach Coughlin talked about Washington's ability to help on special teams just to continue improving. You know, you saw opening day with the fade in the end zone. You saw what he did in preseason, I think 5 touchdowns in 5 games. But again, as the totality of his receiver ability is, you know, special teams and kickoff, the things he can do. You know what he can do with those fade routes in the end zone using his body, but to become a complete receiver and help this football team, he's got to continue to do that. And then you've got Preston Parker, obviously a guy who's a veteran guy. He's been in the league 3 years. He fits a little bit more of that Jernigan role in terms of size. He's a little smaller, so he's a little shiftier, probably a better route runner, intermediate routes specifically. But I think Preston Parker right now is a guy that I would put in that Jernigan role as far as, you know, maybe the third, the slot receiver on this football team.
Well, now the offense feels a little bit better about themselves after what they did against the Cardinals. Well, I want to give you a couple of numbers here, Roman. 6 of 12 on third down in the game.
Right.
Had 5 different drives of 40 or more yards and only got the quarterback sacked twice. Now, these are definitely some positive signs.
Yeah, they are positive, and those are things you can build from. Obviously, the ultimate numbers are in the win-loss column, but you're starting to see signs of this team grasping the concept. You're starting to see good pass protection. You're seeing Eli standing up to his feet and finding open receivers as that touchdown that fell. And you're seeing some positive gains on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So when these things all start to come together, and it's not week eight that's happening, it's happening in week two, you should say, all right, what can they do from this point on? You want to see a little more improvement Sunday against the Texans defense.
All right, but you also saw in that graphic a couple of bad things, and specifically the self-destructive plays the Giants had in the fourth quarter were just too much to overcome. Four drop passes and two fumbles. One, of course, was on specials.
Yeah, and especially when the drops, Paul, were in the fourth quarter, when you needed them the most. There were some drops made in the fourth quarter when you're trying to win a game. I mean, you go up 14-13, they don't get back on the field if they're down by 8 or 7 points. So that's when you didn't need the drops. If you have a drop earlier in the game, you can always recover from that with more catches, more targets. But having those drops in fourth quarter will devastate you when you're trying to come back and seal a victory.
Roman, it's time to go to our Twitter question, and let's get a look at it. It comes from JackBoy7. He says, why aren't the Giants running the ball better? In the first two games, they've run the ball for 53 yards and 81 yards, but only averaged 2.7 a carry as a team.
Well, I've always believed that, well, two things. The run game changes when one run goes for 30 yards or 40 yards or 50 yards. You saw a 73-yarder in preseason. And secondly, everyone's got to sustain their blocks, and that means everyone, not just the five offensive linemen, the tight ends, the backside, the receivers downfield. So you're seeing a lot of guys making their blocks, or at least hat on the hat, but they're not sustaining and running through the blocker. So when that happens, that's when the running game will improve.
A big challenge for the offensive line this week with the Texans and, of course, J.J. Watt. Now, he's got one sack and six quarterback hits so far this season. He can be a dominating force.
Yeah, and one thing I like about J.J. Watt, just as a football player, I know he's a great player, he's a good ambassador of the NFL, but he really charges up that team. He's an emotional leader, and he really works for his sacks. He's not a pass rusher. He's not just a run stuffer. He does both equally well, and that's what makes him so effective. And when you think you got him blocked, he'll come back and he'll chase the quarterback all the way around. He'll hustle and make a play downfield. He really does it all.
Two scary numbers for you if you're the Giants looking at this Texas defense. They've only given up a combined 20 points through the first two games and going 2-0. And they have only allowed 5 of 21 conversions on third down. That is a low number, Roman.
Yeah, they play very solid. They keep everything in front of them. And they really play this, we talked about this, manage the game type of approach.
All right, Roman. When we come back, we will take a look at how the Giants' defense matches up against the Houston offense. So please stick around.
Fitness and wellness have always been part of my game plan for success. And now
Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. You know, the Giants defense did some really good things last week, and then a couple of little things they allowed to leak through. For example, DeAndre Ayton had a 91 yards rushing on the day. Giants weren't real happy about that. But at the same time, the Giants only gave up 266 yards rushing and only 5 of 13 conversions on third down.
Yeah, Paul, and we talked about this earlier. The fact that our Arizona Cardinals were able to spread this defense out and do a lot of runs out of the shotgun, and that backside, a lot of the edge, that was what was affected in that running game. So they gave up a lot of plays around the edge, which means the corners, outside linebackers, defensive ends, have to squeeze those runs back inside, which they did not do.
The one thing that was consistent this past Sunday was the pass rush. The Giants came up with 4 sacks and 10 hits on the quarterback.
And it was great to see the sacks come from different guys. I think JPP had 1.5. I think Hankins had 1.5. And, I mean, you saw when you're seeing it come from different places, that means everyone that gets a one-on-one block, somebody has to win. JPP is always going to get double-teamed. You see Hankins. When you can create a pass rush from the interior in addition to the exterior, here comes Ayers. I mean, when you see that whole pocket collapsing, that's when you know all 4 rushers and maybe even a 5th blitzer, everyone's working to get to the quarterback.
All right, but Roman, there's one thing that Coach Coughlin stressed all throughout the preseason. Got to get some turnovers. The Giants are 0-2, and they've yet to get a turnover on defense. Now, they had 8 passes broken up the other day, but they didn't get their hands on the ball to grab it and keep it.
Yeah, and you even saw Stevie Brown coming over the top. He dropped an interception, one that he would have easily had 2 years ago. What it does just morally to a team when you're intercepting a football, it helps the offense out. This offense does, would like to get the ball on the 30-yard line going in, but just in terms of the winning percentage when defense gets a turnover, a pick six, you have such a greater chance of winning when those kind of things happen.
Now, at the same time, when you get that emotional spark, it helps you make bigger plays. Now, the Cardinals did have 4 plays of 20 or more yards the other day, and that was enough to get them over the hump.
Yeah, and I think Bruce Arians and that offensive staff at Arizona last week was smart enough to try to find the spots where they could take their chances and get these big plays. And if it's because of poor tackling or runs after the catch, what have you, they found a way to make some big plays, especially when we were down backed up in the end zone and they had to get out of traffic. So they weren't explosive plays, but they were just big plays in terms of, 20, 25-plus yards.
I want to go back to the run because Ellington had 3 of his carries for a combined total of 52 yards on 3 big running plays. You alluded to that before. But other than that, 12 carries for 39 yards. So, Roman, do you chalk that up to just a couple of bad fits and say, well, the Giants' run defense is really as good as it needs to be?
Well, if the defense can get off the field early, a couple 3-and-outs, stop the run, and then offense puts them in a position to play with the lead, then they can start to dictate, Paul, what they do defensively. So when the game's tight, something will break. Something will break. The other team will make a big play. So you got to just make sure that you make that one more play before they do so that your offense can get a chance to score. And, again, you're playing with the lead. Now, this defense playing with the lead can send the NASCAR. They can do whatever they want, and that makes it better for everyone.
Guess what, Roman? The Giants are going to have a lot of chances to stop the run against Houston and Arian Foster. So far this year, 241 yards with 1 touchdown, averaging 4.5 yards a carry. He is the only running back in the AFC to put up 2 100-yard games so far.
Yeah, and this Kyle Shanahan system is the old Kubiak system, which he got from Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad, when he was in Denver. So they kept the similarities in the running game. So it's that zone run. So everyone's got to have really solid gap integrity because Arian Foster is a back, as you know, can break a 50, 60-yard run at any time he touches the ball. So everyone's got to be really sound at the point of attack. You cannot miss tackles. And you've got to contain the backside because he will cut it back as well.
How about this for an outlandish number? The Texans are running the ball 73% of the time on 1st and 10. It will be a heavy dose of Foster this weekend, I guarantee it. Let's look at the passing game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the former Bill. You heard Tom Coughlin say he's yet to throw an interception this season. Andre Johnson leads the team with 12 catches, but it's DeAndre Hopkins who has caught a score in each of the first 2 games.
Yeah, and you look at what Ryan Fitzpatrick has done with his team. He's found his niche. Great running game, solid defense. You got J.J. Watt and those guys on the other side. Now he can make really safe, high-percentage throws, and he doesn't have to win the game with his arm. So that's one thing Ryan Fitzpatrick has done. It's obviously week 2. They're 2-0 at this point. They found a winning formula. But He is known to be a turnover-prone quarterback, so maybe the Giants can finally get their turnover this week against Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, the Giants were a -4 in turnover ratio last weekend against the Cardinals. Not a good number. Hey, don't forget, coming up on Giants.com, coming up at 12 o'clock, you've got Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Roman Oben will take you for an hour. You get phone calls and everything else. Giants first and 10, Giants rewind. We got a whole bunch of Giants programming here on MSG throughout the course of the week as we prepare you for the Giants and the Houston Texans. We'll see you next time on Giants Press Conference Live.